Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires are known, and from you there are no secrets hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
Hallelujah.
Let us pray. O God, the King of glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. Do not leave us comfortless, but send us your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us to that place where our Savior Christ has gone before, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God in glory everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. With Paul and Silas, we came to Philippi of Macedonia, a Roman colony. And as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God, who proclaimed to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Revelations to John. At the end of the visions, I, John, heard these words. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let everyone who hears say, come, and let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus prayed for his disciples, and then he said, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Pray with me. God, we come to you today to talk about unity and oneness. Lord Jesus, touch our hearts, our minds, as we discover your word. Lord Jesus, help us to understand your prayer for your people. Unite us as one. Give us unity and oneness and wholeness in your name. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beautiful text, but I guess when you're the rector, you can assign the difficult ones to other folks.
Praise the Lord.
Rector. Unity in a church? How could that ever be possible? And yet, we look at this text today, and this is the longest prayer in the Bible that Jesus preached, and it's actually three parts. First, he prayed for himself. Now he's getting ready to go to the cross, so he prayed for himself. Then he prayed for his followers with him, and then he actually prayed for you and me. If you read the text, he actually prayed for all of us that would one day be here on this earth, and all of us that would one day be united with him in heaven. It's an amazing prayer. Unity. Oh, hard to do. Oneness, and I guess we need to look at unity and understand unity does not mean uniformity. Unity does not mean that I have to look like you, that I have to have the same opinion as you, that I have to have the same political candidate as you. Being one in Christ means that we accept the love of Christ and we see the love of Christ within each of us. And that's what makes us beautiful. I'm going to share a little bit of my own experience, and I swore I wasn't going to do this. This month is Pride Sunday, and I'm sure many of you don't know what that is. But many, many years ago, before women were allowed in the Episcopal Church and they were on the outside and weren't allowed at the altar, when gay and lesbian folks were not allowed at the altar or even in the door unless we hid who we were, there was such division that I can remember having female folks from the Episcopal Church sneak in and preach and do communion at our tables as we had separate churches. Because we were unwelcome, because we were broken, because everybody was talking about what it meant to be whole, but we weren't quite sure how we were going to do that. I remember marching, and you're going to die laughing, Chattanooga Pride prayed as Sister Proud Mary in a full nun's habit, with glasses on so no one could see who I was. And if you don't believe me, go back and do some research because it went over the news wire and it was asking who these two nuns were. And boy, we were terrified. We took those habits and burned them. terrified someone would find out who we are. But we were marching for unity. We were marching to be one with you, to have the right to worship with you, to share our gifts with you. We just wanted to be part of the family. Christ, in this prayer, prayed for us, that we may all be one. Now, here's where it's tough. You're not like this. Jesus didn't pray that you're going to be rich and have a mansion. Jesus didn't pray for you to have a new car or a better job or better health or more money. At the hour before Jesus' death, he prayed that we may all be one with Christ, that we may all know the love that from the very beginning before time that God felt for Jesus, so that we could all be connected to something so much bigger than us that we couldn't imagine. Jesus didn't pray at this point, please don't let me suffer, or let my followers suffer, or let my future followers suffer. Please make my religion the best religion there ever is. Cover it in gold. Jesus prayed, let us be one. Let us be one. He didn't say we had to look alike. He didn't say that we had to root for the same teams or drive the same cars. Let us be one. You know, the funniest story with unity, and you know, he wants us to be one so the world will understand who we are. Let me not offend a denomination, so I really need my paper here. I know in Chattanooga you've driven down the road and seen First Church. 2 or 3 miles down the road you've seen Greater Second Church. When they've really been in a fight, you'll see Overcoming First and Second Church. Yes, I've seen it. It's called Overcoming Faith, Robertsdale, Alabama. Yes, Overcoming Faith. We won the battle of First and Second Church. Then I've seen the fourth church. We're the real church. This is what the world sees as our division. And you know the wonderful thing about, there's one good thing about the Episcopal Church, is the paper's so slow we can't have First St. Thaddeus and Second St. Thaddeus down the road. When we get mad with each other, we're stuck with each other because the paperwork, the bishop, the committees would take us years. We are. We are. We're stuck with each other. We're in the same boat together. We can't start something new that began over 2,000 years ago. Unity, please hear me again, is not uniformity. You don't have to like what I like. And I don't have to like what you like. It's not about you or me. It's not about always doing or saying the right things. It's about being human. And that wanting and yearning for that wholeness from God that I think is so beautiful. And in the beginning, when Adam sinned, I believe God's all-knowing. I believe God put the tree there for a purpose, knowing Adam would sin. Because I believe God needs us to need God. It's a wonderful thing when you go home to your parents. It's a wonderful thing as mothers and fathers and grandparents where you see your children raise up their hand and want you. It's a wonderful feeling. God wants us to want God. God wants us to be one. Now, oneness is about relationship. And this is always hard, but I witnessed absolutely a miracle yesterday. As Jean cooked for the dinner, and she was terrified on the phone. She thought there'd be 3 or 4 people there. She was really afraid. And there ended up being 23 or 24 folks. We had folks from the food pantry come. We had folks that were not part of our church. And yes, I watched. I stood back and I watched. As first, they were isolated and alone. And then I saw one come and sit with them. And then another one felt like it was okay. And before the end of the night, there was a family that was together, unified by gambling. And Sally cheats. It took lasagna and bingo to pull a community together. And I watched as our priest hid behind the scenes and started taking pictures and going around and walking and seeing how these folks were all engaged and involved. We're a community. All we have is each other. One of the things we learn as people that are different from you, gay and lesbian, is we get to choose our family. Sometimes our own families reject us, and all we have is you. You become our mothers and our fathers and our sisters and our brothers. You become our mentors. And we become one with you. So today, let us celebrate that in the midst of suffering, facing death, Christ prayed for us. In the midst of all he knew we were going to do today, last week, and next week, he prayed for you. Why? So that the whole world would be one. So that the Christian community would be known by their love. So that just by looking inside at us, they would know who we were. Yesterday, everybody there knew who we were. Don't you think? At the event, we showed love. We didn't try to turn them into Episcopalians. We didn't try to get them to come to church. Through our unity, through our oneness, through showing our love, one of the ladies that comes to the food bank said, "I can't wait to come back." Oneness. In closing, I pray, oh God, make us one. Oh God, make us understand that unity is your way. God, let us understand that we don't have to be uniform. We can be different and celebrate the love and the uniqueness that you offer in each of us. Jesus Christ, Son of God, we thank you for praying for us and for thinking of us right here this moment. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Please stand. Let us profess our faith by saying the Nicene Creed found on page 8. We believe in one God, Father the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the scriptures, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Glory of the Paschal light, we pray to God. God, awake those who sleep. Raise us from death.
Christ, give us life.
Bring newness and change to your church, O God, that we might serve you with courage and grace.
In you is your light, we proclaim your redeeming work.
Bring new hope to your world, O God, that all might know the goodness of your love. Lead us from the empty tomb to proclaim your grace in this nation and inspire our leaders toward peace and cooperation.
In Easter, we learn to honor one another and serve the common good.
The resurrected Christ is a mission of hope to those who suffer, and we especially pray for all those that we now name. Margaret, Steve,
Nicole,
J.R.,
John and Joan,
Paul,
Marie,
Jimmy,
Martha,
Renee,
Ryan and
Haley,
Teddy,
Richard,
Regina,
Irene,
June,
Michael,
Laura,
Baylor,
Shay,
Pat,
Alberta,
Tom,
Jane,
Tony,
Zach,
Chuck
and Betsy,
Michael,
Clara,
Georgina,
Joyce,
Bill,
Martha,
Shane,
Judy,
Pat,
David,
Randy,
Judy,
Jeff,
Melvin
and Barbara,
Patricia,
Sherry,
Jason,
Corey,
Hannah,
Terry,
Felicia,
Vicky,
Dennis,
and Doug.
We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays, especially J.R. Hicks, Bob Sherrill, Betty Sherrill, Joyce Marsden, Scott Greenwell, and Andy Gruen. God resurrect us. After you were raised, you ate and drank with the disciples. Bring us and all who have died peace and assurance of the resurrection.
In the East,
we pray for all of our hearts in terms of violence, that you will change.
In the Easter light, change our hearts, that we may grow larger in faith and hope.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
This time's.
not for me. So, I never know about that. I just want to make sure, because I know I'm already. Hello, everyone. Just a few things to talk about. I wrote them down because God knows I need that so that I can remember. So next Sunday, it's the Feast of Pentecost where the Holy Spirit descends upon us like fire, and you all celebrate that by wearing red. That's how that works. So if you don't come in red, there are going to be dire consequences. I don't know what they are yet, but it will be serious. But we do need some help right this week. I'm looking at Sally. We need some help to set up. And if you want to help in that process, now there's going to be a big potluck party after the service. So it's party. We start, we do Eucharist, that's a big party. Then we go in that room over there and there's a party. Lanny, my three-legged dog, is going to love this specifically. But if they want to help set up for the, to just show up, just get a hold of you. Okay, get a hold of Sally. Okay. And other decorations and stuff. Okay, great. Okay. Fantastic. Thanks. Yesterday evening there was a party here, just to fellowship, to celebrate fellowship. And I think we're going to make this a first Saturday of the month kind of thing. I'm looking for Chris for. Okay. So we're going to make this a first Saturday of the month sort of celebration. So be looking for that in July. Just a time to come together with folks from our neighborhood, folks who come from our pantry. Just bring a friend. This is a way to bring a friend to Jesus without it being Jesus, right? You don't have to like be like, here, come to Jesus. Just come to me to a dinner party. That's a lot easier, right? It's a lot less awkward to say, come with me to a dinner party. So that will be looking for more information about that. If you're interested in contributing to our hymn choices this summer, then there you need to let us know about that. We'll be playing your favorite hymns, and I think in the narthex there's something to write down your favorite hymns. We want to know what your favorite hymns are so that we can play those. Be looking for the weekly email. It's going to come out from the church office. There's going to be a lot of important information in there. I'm not sure if you read the email or not. If you don't, let me just invite you to do that. Just take a look at it. Up at the top of the email will be information about what's in the email, so you can skim down to really what you want to look at. But Martha's going to be working on that. So take a look at the weekly email that comes out. And on a final note, next Sunday, it's not only the Feast of Pentecost, but it'll be the first Sunday where liturgical furniture here looks a little different. Our font will be in the back of the church. And my chair will no longer be in the Captain Kirk position, but next to it over here so that we can see each other during worship. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High.
Oh, taste and see, oh, taste and see.
Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
We praise you and we bless you, holy and gracious God, source of life abundant. From before time you made ready the creation. Your spirit moved over the deep and brought all things into being. Sun, moon, and stars, earth, winds, and waters, and every living thing. You made us in your image and taught us to walk in your ways. But we rebelled against you and wandered far away. Yet as a mother cares for her children, you would not forget us. Time and again, you called us to live in the fullness of your love. And so this day, we join with saints and angels in the chorus of praise that rings through eternity, lifting our voices to magnify you as we sing. Glory and honor and praise to you, holy and living God, to deliver us from the power of sin and death and to reveal the riches of your grace. You looked with favor upon Mary, your willing servant, that she might conceive and bear a son, Jesus, the Holy Child of God. Living among us, Jesus loved us. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners, healed the sick, and proclaimed good news to the poor. He yearned to draw all the world to himself, yet we were heedless of his call to walk in love. Then the time came for him to complete upon the cross the sacrifice of his life and to be glorified by you. On the night he died for us, Jesus was at table with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine, again gave thanks to you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer to you our gifts of bread and wine, and ourselves a living sacrifice. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your Spirit over the whole earth, and make us your new creation, the body of Christ given for the world you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with Thaddeus and all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
These are the gifts of God. They are for you, the people of God. Come taste and see that God is good. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, go forth into the world in peace and be of good courage. Fast to that which is good and render no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are faint-hearted and support folks in need. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Alleluia, alleluia, let us go forth rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia.